Hi there, listener. You're about to experience Tadpog. Tyler and Dave play old games, and there will be plenty of game talk, but also copious amounts of crude, off-color, offensive, and immature speech. So if you are of a rather sensitive humor constitution, we're just letting you know what you're in for with this show. It has games. It has jokes. You know, just games and jokes. Take the games, take the jokes, and have a good time.
Hello, Internet. Welcome to another Tadpog Podcast. It's a show that happens twice a week, where two old guys and your favorite, what's a good adjective for this, for the Tadpog married couple of guest hosting fame?
Tadpog's sweetheart and Tadpog's sweetheart's wife of Kirby fame.
Okay, that's fair. Talk about old games. Mm-hmm. Today, we're drawing ever closer, because today we are starting what I'm sure will probably be a two-month long breakdown and frame by frame, word by word analysis of IGN's second ranked game, Chrono Trigger.
We're actually going to get into the coding, I think.
Yeah.
Is that cool?
It's going to be the best audio game facts experience you've ever had.
We're actually, each of us is going to read a different game facts entry for Chrono Trigger straight. It's going to be wonderful.
As Charles Barkley.
I'm really looking forward to Nicole's Charles Barkley impression for 4 hours.
Say, and then you fight Gato. And Charles Barkley, please, Nicole.
I don't know what Charles Barkley sounds like.
I was hoping you were going to say, I don't know what Charles Barkley is. What is a Charles Barkley?
He's a basketball player, right?
Yeah.
Yes. Well, he was.
Is he dead?
No, he just doesn't play anymore.
That's how basketball works.
You play until you die.
It's like the Hunger Games. Only one basketball player survived.
That's how football works. Basketball, you get to have a life after you're done.
Michael Jordan got an out because he went to baseball.
Yeah.
That's true.
Didn't he golf too?
I think so.
I don't think he made. Yeah, I don't think he went like pro in golfing, right? I know he's pro in baseball.
Couldn't tell you if he did or not.
He's no Bo Jackson or Barry Bonds, I guess.
Well, Bo knows.
More. It's true. Guess what? Bo Jackson, like, I remember whenever I was at Murray State, one of my teachers, when I was going for exercise science, talked about Bo Jackson, and the reason he had to retire is he had an injury that, like, was going to tear his hamstring. And normally, like, you tear a hamstring, you're fine. You know, you'll have to take some time to recover.
You'll be okay.
Well, but his hamstrings were so strong, as opposed to the muscle breaking, like the hamstring, it tore the muscle off of his bone.
Oh.
So, like, he had to retire. There's no coming back from that.
Yeah.
So.
There's no coming back from having the muscle sheared off of your bone.
Yep. Yeah. Physically ripped off because your hamstring is too strong to break.
Sounds like a real pussy to me. Oh, real P word, sorry.
Sorry, Taryn. But I'm your bearded host, Tyler, and I was trying to think, like, I had a shitty day at work, so I didn't get to really think a lot about what I was going to tell for my intro story.
Can you tell us about your shitty day?
I don't think I'm supposed to, legally.
Okay.
Because I signed a contract.
Contract.
And I would be talking shit about my workplace, and I know that's part of it.
Well, hypothetically, if you were to work somewhere and you were to have an alleged bad day.
Yeah. But instead, I'm going to talk about...
Dodging that. didn't even think about it.
Well, I'll talk about a different workplace.
Okay.
I'll go to one I didn't sign a contract at. Although I'm still not going to say the name of the place. I'll just talk about an insane person I worked with.
What does it rhyme with?
The place?
The place that you worked at.
I don't even know how to rhyme it. Let's just say it's a restaurant where I work with a drunk guy. I'm sure if you listen to everything over the course of this podcast, you can put it together. So it'd be like a little game for
you. This is
you.
The mystery. This is the overarching mystery of Tadpog.
So if you said you were allergic to bees, and the place I'm talking about now are the great Tadpog mysteries. So I want to talk about the drunk guy I worked with, you know, like back in the day. I don't even want to give it a good time frame because wow. I feel bad. I still like the restaurant, but this okay. guy was awful.
It's a good restaurant.
But this, I'll just call him Drunk Guy because that is basically all that he is in essence, is a drunk guy.
Not Drunk Gatsby. This isn't the
Good Tom Gatsby could also be called Drunk Gatsby or High Gatsby, either one. But this guy that I worked with, he was, I think he turned like 52 while I was working there. And he'd been working in kitchens since he was like 13 years old. So at this point, like the guy honestly, like he knew what the fuck he was talking about. Like he had a ton of knowledge. He had a ton of skill. But looking at the places he'd been and what he'd done in his life, there's a reason that he's not like a teacher or has like a turnkey at his own place or something. You know, for the amount of time and as good as he could be, there's a reason why he's working for like $10 an hour with no benefits, you know, at a place in Paducah. There's, you know.
Yeah. I'm willing to bet it has to do with his name, Drunk Guy.
Drunk Guy. That's part of it. Part of it is that he was a raging alcoholic. And the other part that he's one of those people that just has a just incredibly toxic personality.
Like us.
Like, well. because while I was working there, and while I was thinking about this story, it reminded me of another story. Because like this guy, Drunk Guy, I saw his ass crack more than I've seen my own ass crack. Granted, I don't have a lot of opportunity to be my own ass crack, but I've seen his more.
We've all seen those videos.
But that reminded me of another story about my friend AJ. Whenever he went to college at Murray State, he moved down from Louisville and got a rent. You know, he didn't go with anybody he knew from his high school or anything, so he got a random roommate assignment.
Right, right.
And of all the archetypes of roommates you could get, he got masturbating guy.
Oh, you? Me? I wasn't his roommate.
But
Josh?
we're all the archetype masturbating guy.
Well, that's why we worked, because we just hung out with each other, just masturbated all the time. None of us cared.
It's true.
That's how we all became friends.
We replied to a circle jerk we saw posted on the bulletin board at Murray State.
You come next to a guy enough times, you're pretty close.
minimum 45 times. We got there pretty quickly.
Glad you're on the show, Nicole.
But I remember he got so frustrated one time. I remember, like, he was in the hallway ahead of me.
AJ or the masturbator?
AJ.
Okay.
AJ. Masturbator, I mean, I'd met him plenty of times. He was kind of a weird dude.
Yeah.
I remember the few times, like, I'd met him, I remember it was like, I don't know, it was like he was a weird Sims character because he had a pink mohawk, and I only saw him in, like, a white T-shirt, boxers and socks. That's the only thing he was ever wearing every time I'd ever met him.
And every time he would talk to you, it would sound like, and it'd just be a balloon with a dick with a hand over it. And you would just like cross your arms and shake your head.
What are your short long-term goals?
the college expansion. Yeah.
The Sims masturbate. It was a good expansion. But I remember he was ahead of me one time and just like unlocked the door and went into the dorm and immediately just turned back around and slammed the door. And just, he was so exasperated. He was just like, God, that motherfucker, I've seen his fucking dick more times than I've seen my own. Because that's what every single time he'd come into his dorm, he always saw this dude's dick and he was always jerking off.
Maybe this dude had a thing for
it. I don't know. Yeah. What, maybe he was planning it.
I think he had to have been.
He was also the kind of guy, he had like a digital Mary-Kate and Ashley Olsen poster with a countdown timer to when they turned 18 on his side of the dorm.
I wish I could put Nicole's face on that. Yeah, I could see that.
If you could hear that frown.
That's gross.
I know they don't even have boobs. That's gross.
Yeah.
They still don't have boobs. No.
That's still gross. I'm not into it. Nope. Give me Sophie D. It's fine. It's fine. But I remember one time, I was in the back doing prep, and two of the guys that were on the line were there with Drunk Guy.
Mm-hmm.
And they were working in the front, and then I just heard them both, like something from You Can't Do That on Television. They both just like gag and laugh and then run back. And then they tell me that, I mean, Drunk Guy always, like, as many times, like, when I was in charge of the kitchen, like, I would try to get this guy to wear a belt and take a shower and things like that. Like, but I just couldn't get him to do it. It was very frustrating. And
he kept wearing the belt around his neck, wrapping around a pipe and the rafters.
And he, because what really clinched it for them was one time he was cooking and he dropped something. And they were both behind him on the line. And he turns around and he goes to bend over and pick it up. And they see what looks like a rooster tail of shit has gone up the small of his back. Yeah.
That's an official term.
Rooster tail. And they tell me, and I went and told the owner, and he pulled him back. I had a discussion with him and sent him home, made him shower. And that would have been the end of it, but I heard it happen a second time.
See,
and that's when he got fired.
And that's where, like, me and this guy are, like, completely different. Because if my boss was ever like, hey, go home because you have, like, shit running up your back, he'd never see me again. I just wouldn't go back to work. I'd be like, oh, okay, thanks. I'll shower, be right back, and never, ever go back. I leave all my stuff there at work, and I would just probably move two counties over.
Where the bonfires are.
Exactly.
It was, I guess he kept coming back because where else is he going to get free booze? So.
Oh, you got free booze there? That explains a lot.
Well, I don't know how much of the booze he was supposed to get for free, but I know we closed in the middle of the day for a few hours. And once everybody would leave, I could check the security footage and see him wandering over to the bar and just pouring all sorts of drinks.
I was hoping you were going to say, where else is he going to shit himself?
No one else is going to see it. That's also his fetish.
What's up, Internet? I'm Dave. I'm your bespectacled host. And, man, you made me think about my roommate in college. I also didn't go to college with a high school friend. So I wound up with a rodeo guy.
Yeah.
And as you know, we had a lot in common, me and this guy, because we all had the same, like, interests of riding animals that have their testicles all twisted up and country music. So, I mean, it was perfect. He didn't like me and I didn't really care much for him, although I never saw his dick, so I don't think he was really that into me. I'm trying to think if I've got a seeing a rooster tail at work story. Sadly, I don't. Man, maybe one day I'm holding out.
You need
out.
To do more kitchen work.
I'm holding out for that walking into another designer's office and being like, whoa, maybe you should take a break. I was also trying to think of like a time travel story. I thought that might be appropriate for Chrono Trigger. Unfortunately, I've never time traveled. So
yet.
I guess yet. The closest I've gotten has been like getting lost in the Louvre in Paris. That was a lot like time travel because it was just wandering around this huge museum trying to find my group of fellow high schoolers. And then finally, my teacher's mom found me and with the most southern accent you can possibly imagine, just waves her hands in the air and just screams, Dave! And everyone in the museum just kind of like looks around and it's like, I had to make a decision. It's like, I can either be lost in the Louvre forever or I can admit that I'm the guy that this old southern woman is looking for.
That really does sound like a book, like a kid who gets lost in the Louvre and ends up traveling back and meeting like Leonardo da Vinci. Like that.
That's how the book ends.
You Gumby
right?
style yeah. skate into every painting and you end up.
Oh man, somebody please make this children's book of Tadpog getting as children getting like going through time, having adventures.
It's the perfect Frog and Toad, if you ask me.
Yeah.
And then like pink mohawk masturbating guy is like dark timeline me. If I hadn't gone through all the Renaissance paintings, then that's what I would have turned into. Instead, I eked out a little bit better than that. Just a notch up. What's up, Josh?
Hey, Dave.
How's it going, man?
It's going pretty good.
Yeah, keeping it at a...
100.
Keeping it at 100, all right.
That is 94 more than you normally keep. Yeah,
man, I'm excited.
I was trying to think of a bad roommate story, but I couldn't really think of one. The closest I've come, he wasn't really a roommate. Back whenever I was in college, I lived in this apartment with a guest host, Sean McElwain. he and I lived in the front apartment of this house. It was a house that was divided up into three different apartments. We were in the bottom front, the back half of the apartment. There was a guy.
Back quarter of the apartment, yeah, or less.
So this guy, he lived in here. I knew him as the naked man. I'm not sure.
Like on Friends?
Yeah.
The naked guy. Show notes.
I'd never met him before until like right before I think he moved in, we went to this party, and it was an underwear party. And of course, he just shows up naked, just walking around the whole party naked. Everybody's getting a big kick out of it. So he got dubbed the Naked Man.
Which tells me that he had a pretty big dick, but not a huge one, because then everyone wouldn't call him Naked Guy. they call him that guy with the huge fucking dick.
This is solid logic.
Yeah, it is. I never thought about that. Yeah, you're right. So I think I went over his the back apartment for some reason, and he was out there, and he asked me to have a cigarette with him, so I hung out on the back porch.
Was he naked?
No, he wasn't naked this time, but the whole time I'm smoking, I'm like, I know you from somewhere, and then it just dawns on me, this is the Naked Man. So, yeah.
You didn't recognize him with his clothes on.
Yeah, exactly. He was a pretty cool guy. He made candles and stuff like that. Yeah. kind of hippie cool guy, though.
We also went to high school with him.
Did we?
We did.
What was his name?
Paul.
No.
That guy's name wasn't Paul.
No, it wasn't.
Or we're talking about a different guy? I remember a different hippie guy lived in the back of that apartment who made candles.
You're talking about the guy who was missing the finger, right?
Right.
Okay.
Oh, yeah, about a different dude then.
His name wasn't Paul.
Yeah, it was a different guy. We did not go to high school.
Was the guy missing the finger the naked guy?
Yeah.
Or a different guy? So maybe that was his thing. He was like, you know what? I'm missing a finger, so I don't want anyone to talk about that. So I'm going to go to every party naked.
I mean, I didn't notice his finger missing at that party, so yeah. But I actually wanted to talk about something Chrono Trigger related, and I was going to admit that I actually read Chrono Trigger fan fiction back in, I guess it was...
Monday.
Yeah.
You're talking about Icy Brian?
Yes.
Yeah.
yeah, and it was Ashley Shake of Fist Puncher fame?
Buying Tad Pog out
Saint
fame.
Shake now. Yeah. Saint Shake of buying...
no, Master... What do you want it to be?
Oh, Master Cock.
Master Cock.
Simply Master Cock.
Well, okay, then Master Cock got me hooked on Icy Brian.
Never expected to hear that sentence in my entire life.
So back when I first played Chrono Trigger, it just left me yearning for more. Like I just wanted more Chrono Trigger, however I could get it. And then I found out about Icy Brian, which was this
what is Icy Brian?
It's like a sort of a game. It was one of the very gamers' websites that we found.
It was an actual dude, and that was his handle, but he had his own website devoted to Chrono Trigger and Chrono Trigger fan fiction where he would write stuff and people would also
submit he had their own facts and game guides and cheat codes and stuff like that. But he also had a section that people would send in fanfic.
Okay.
And
he was the official Chrono Trigger fanfic.
And thinking
about it. In 1996, he was the man.
Does anyone know where he is now?
The website may still be up. Yeah. I don't know.
We'll see. It'll be in the show notes if we can.
I see Brian, if you're listening, man, we need to hear
Shake
from you.
Used to talk to him. He's like, he actually emailed me back. He's a pretty cool dude.
Master Cock.
Master Cock emailed him.
So I was trying to think of all the stuff the fanfic had in it, but I know it had to do with the Kingdom of Zeal, which is a pretty big part of the game. But it also it got really weird. There were Mega Man X villains in it too. It was a great fanfic.
Dr. Wily, Dr. Light did come from Zeal. It makes sense.
I wish they were Gurus. Yeah, of course. I really wish I could remember more about it. I'll try to find some.
I think we need to have a reading. Yeah, I think we should find some definitely. For Othership Monday.
Some Tadpog Theater. Yeah.
Do some Tadpog Theater. What's up, Nicole?
Hi.
How you doing?
Good.
Yeah?
Yeah. You guys talking about college roommates made me think of... It didn't happen to me, but it happened to you.
I'm turning you up.
No.
Yeah, I got to turn you up. Either I have to turn you up on the board or you have to sit closer to the mic. You pick.
No, I'm pretty loud.
No, you're not.
I can't edit by wavelength form whenever you host because it looks like silence, but when I listen to it, it's you talking.
I'm sorry.
No.
Thanks, Josh. Thank you. For moving it closer.
Thanks. There were three friends of mine that went to college together, and two of us roomed together, and then the other one got someone else. And one day she was the person who had someone else, her random roommate. She was looking for the remote for the TV. And so she looked in all the normal places and on the floor, under the bed, whatever. And then she decided that maybe her roommate had left it on her bed. So she was feeling through the sheets of her roommate's bed and thought she'd found the remote, grabs it, pulls it out. Totally not. It's her roommate's dildo.
But it turned the TV on.
Which was funny because then she had to call us and for us to come down there so she could show us her roommate's
dildo. That reminds me of some story that I'm not allowed to tell. Yeah.
You just opened up a whole new branch of stories.
Dildo Easter egg. So it was a full-on dildo. It wasn't like a cute little vibrator. It was like a t-shirt cannon.
it looked like a penis. Shaped like a penis. Had veins and everything.
Okay. All right, first point after you told that story, what did you guys call the TV remote growing up? Was it the remote? Was it the clicker? Was it?
It was a remote in my house.
It was the remote, yeah.
Yes, remote.
How was the TV thing? Yeah. My dad still calls it that. Tyler, where's the TV thing? The other was, I did something like that once to Sean McElwain of Contra and Mega Man X2 fame. And, well, now Super Metroid fame.
He found his dildo.
He found his, yeah.
Well, he
every one of us. Veiny. Every one of us was about to
was,
that one.
He was out of town for the weekend, and I stayed at his house. And I had a girl over, and we full run in his bed. And she had a sex toy, and I forgot to take it with me whenever I left. So he was pretty mad when he got back. He and his girlfriend got into bed and found a bullet. So after that point, he was like, very.
Did you like try to play it off? Be like, no, that was for you, man.
I left it for being you. A present. Surprise. No, she wanted it back, so I had to go get it.
Were you guys like shooting guns in there? I don't understand why there's a bullet.
After that, he was all like, I don't know. I don't want people sleeping in my bed. When before he was like, yeah, come over. You can sleep in my bed.
It was very like that's. I have several. Things, questions about that story. What girl brings her sex toy over to like some random person's house to have sex with someone else? Then why didn't she take it with her?
We forgot it.
The sex was that good.
We just got up and then like got something to eat and just forgot about it.
I just feel like if you have the conscious thought to take it with you, then you wouldn't forget.
Pack it up.
Especially because you're at some stranger's house. Like, to forget it's in your own bed's one thing.
Was it on the entire time?
McQueen, what's going on?
I don't know why, but I guess it's just my personality, my neurotic personality. But, like, every time I go through airport security, I'm always like, man, I sure hope they don't find a dildo in my luggage. There's no dildo in my luggage ever. Like, it's like, I think a normal person, if they were like worrying about something, it would be like, man, I hope a terrorist didn't like sneak a bomb into my luggage. No, I'm just like, man, I hope someone didn't sneak a dildo in my luggage.
It sounds like a fun game. Like every time you're about to leave, like just find a way to plant a dildo in your luggage.
By the end of it, I've got a large collection of dildos that have traveled around the world.
That's a different suitcase. Yeah. It's usually check outside they brought on. Locke checked in knives and to get on the plane and lost. Dave checks in his dildos.
They've got the passport stamps from like all the different countries.
Was it Patrice O'Neill that
Tread his like big case of glass dildos he would go take from brothel to brothel in like Central America?
Yeah, I think that was in Jim Norton's book, wasn't it? Yeah. You hear that, Tyler?
I do hear that.
The bullet train.
Nice.
Yeah, the bullet train. I hear that. It's coming in quick. It ushers in a little segment that I like to call Dave Reads Some Wikipedia. Mm. All right, guys. Chrono Trigger, or as it's known in Japan, Kuro no Trigger.
It's pretty good.
Is a role-playing video game developed and published by Square, now Square Enix, for the Super Nintendo Entertainment System in 1995. Chrono Trigger's development team included three designers that Square dubbed the Dream Team. And then they don't... Oh, no, they do list them. Sorry. But man...
Johnny Crockin, F. Lee Bailey, and... Is there anybody I can name from O.J. Simpson's Dream Team trial?
For everybody who knows more about video games than I do, which is probably about, I guess, probably 80% of our listeners, please correct me in my pronunciation. Hironobu Sakaguchi, who was the creator of the Final Fantasy series, Yuji Horii, a freelance designer and creator of the Dragon Quest series, and Akira Toriyama, who is a freelance artist famed for his work in Dragon Quest and Dragon Ball.
That makes a lot of sense to me.
I remember I had really a hard time with this as a kid because I never really liked Dragon Ball's art style.
Mm-hmm.
But I really liked Chrono Trigger. So it was tough to like look at the game manual because that's really where like the manga style really shows through, and less so in the game in sprite form. But I remember looking at the manual and being like, man, this looks like Dragon Ball Z, but it's such a good game.
I remember I had a hard time whenever they remade it and added all the cutscenes and everything.
Oh,
and,
yeah.
That because just looking at the art from like the instruction manual, game guide, whatever, that was a little different than actually seeing Goku with red hair and a katana.
Yeah. I don't think I give Dragon Ball a fair shake because, not a fair Master Cock, and a fair shake. because I saw some of it when we were over at McElwain's house. I saw some of it for like the first time in like decades.
Mm-hmm.
And actually, like, I would sit down and watch some of that because it was like, I'm not sure if it was intentionally funny or unintentionally funny, but it was funny.
Dragon Ball was like made. As satire, wasn't it?
Yeah, I've always heard that. I don't know if that's 100% true. It's always like one of those things where it's like, I heard this on the internet, so I'm just going to accept it as fact.
But to be fair, what we were watching.
Are you talking about Dragon Ball or Dragon Ball Z? Because we watched two different parts.
Yeah, I know there was like one Dragon Ball Z episode that we watched. And I didn't like that nearly as much as the Dragon Ball episode.
Dragon Ball, yeah.
Because the Dragon Ball episodes was, I mean, those were funny with like. Gangster Crocodile, like, which I assume is just like not a regular character, just an extra. And like, if you're doing that shit, then I'm on board because that's just like absurd enough for me.
But that was what we were watching, wasn't that like the an abridged version? Like
Dragon Ball Z, we were watching Dragon Ball Z Kai, which they take out all the filler.
Dragon Ball Z Heil.
There is a part in a Dragon Ball movie where they fight Hitler, though, to be fair. There's a movie where some boss or some enemy basically starts bringing back people from the past,
uh-huh.
And you suddenly see Hitler and all his tanks just start invading Japan. So adult Gohan just allies. Has to kill Hitler. What?
They were allies. Why would
they were axes, you're right. Josh.
Yeah, They didn't keep up afterwards, so I guess Hitler was angry about it. I passed the torch. No.
So anyway, the music was Uematsu, who we all know from the Final Fantasy series. So this had a pretty good team on it that I know at least part of the team went on to do like Final Fantasy XI and like weird like tangents in Square's history.
Mm.
So I think that's pretty cool. It talks about all the re-release ports that they did because everyone, I'm sure, remembers, Nicole, I'm sure you remember the PlayStation re-release. That was awful because it had all the load times in it that because it was disc-based that the cartridge didn't have.
Mm-hmm.
So it was completely unplayable. But I bared through it anyway just to watch those cutscenes mm-hmm. that Josh was talking about. That's pretty much it. It's a critical success. It talks about that a little bit, which is good. Nintendo Power Magazine describes aspects of Chrono Trigger as revolutionary, including multiple endings, mm-hmm. plot-related side quests, unique battle system, and detailed graphics.
The battle system, one. Has there been anything else like it? I love that system so much, but I cannot think of a single game that replicates it.
Not exactly. Like, I don't know of a game that replicates it exactly, because it's like this cool blend of action RPG and turn-based RPG, right? Because it's got like these elements of an action RPG where your party is walking along and you can see the enemies, which I know is something that Nicole's a fan of. So instead of taking three steps and then a random battle occurring, you can actually see an enemy on the screen and decide whether or not you want to attack it or not. Sometimes
and you pretty much can actually avoid it, yeah, which is rare. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So
your proximity to the enemies. Unfortunately, I think you can't move around on the battle screen or the regular screen, which is about the same. Without attacking, like some attacks, you'll end up in a different spot. But proximity, right, to the enemies does have some bearing. You know, certain attacks will only hit a certain area, that sort of thing. So that's a new mechanic. I know they've done that since. But for the first time in that game, yeah, it was a pretty big deal.
Hell yeah. Yeah. I mean, I never played anything like it when it came out. And I know, like you touched on, Josh, it not changing screens. Mm. Like when you go into battle, it doesn't cut to a side screen like it does in Final Fantasy. Everything just kind of happens right there. So everything's immediate. There's no break, and it feels fluid. I remember loving that as a kid because it didn't feel as grindy. And I think that's by nature of the game, but I think also it not cutting back and forth, back and forth, back and forth to battle screen and map.
And you get disoriented.
Yeah. Because that's one of my biggest complaints about big dungeons in a Final Fantasy style game is that the first time going through the dungeon, I just get lost. Because especially if the random encounters are turned up really high, where it's just like I'll take a step and I'll go down a left tunnel and then five battles will happen, and then all of a sudden be like, wait, did I come down this tunnel or do I need to go down this tunnel? And then invariably I go back down the tunnel and it's like, damn it. 20 more fights to get back to where I was.
And you did mention you can see the enemies on the screen. You can't avoid them. On rare occasions, enemies will just kind of jump out at you. They won't be seen or they'll be hidden. Mm-hmm. And there are some telltale signs you can watch out for, too, for hidden enemies. Like
rustling bushes.
Things like that. So it's kind of a nice touch.
It's cool because it's different. Mm-hmm. I mean, like I said, I never played anything like it. So it was super exciting because it was now the dungeons and the wilderness are kind of interactive. You know, they kind of have an impact on how you navigate the maps and stuff like that.
Nicole, out of all the video games, we wanted you to play this game. So we got you to sit down and play through this game over the course of several weeks. Out of the games that you have played, where would this rank?
Like out of all the video games I've ever played or out of the games that you forced me to play?
Well, listen, because I feel like you liked it.
I did like it.
For a game that you were forced to play.
Yes, I did like it.
Let's say overall, in all the games you played, where would this game that is outside of your sphere of the games you would normally play, where would it actually fit in?
Top 10.
Nice.
That's good. That's really good. Consider what your favorite game of all time is probably Banjo-Kazooie?
Sims.
The Sims.
Sims. Yeah. Okay. All right. The Sims. Console game then. Let's narrow it down.
Did you get the college expansion pack with Masturbating Guy?
Masturbating Guy.
Yeah. Of course. You have to have that one. Duh. I really enjoyed it. I think that I knew that I really enjoyed it whenever you guys said, okay, now you can end the game here if you want to. And I was like, no, that's okay. Let's keep going.
Yeah. So.
Yeah, because you went through and got the good ending, the good and final ending.
Yeah, I enjoyed it. It was good.
Yeah, that's another thing about this game that's pretty huge. I feel like it's a game about time traveling. Mm-hmm. Fairly early on in the game, you find out who the final boss is, and you can pretty much, from then on, you can pretty much go for it.
Go and fight it.
Yeah.
Whenever you
at
want.
Any point in time, of course, it's probably going to kick your ass. But
You can also choose the time period in which you want to try and go fight it.
Right. Yeah. And that's how you unlock several of the endings is at what point in the game do you go and fight the final boss? Do you leave all this other stuff unfinished? If you do, it's going to have a totally different ending than if you play through the entire game and then go beat it at the end. So.
And I love that as a kid. Like that was a huge draw, was all the endings, because there's so many endings of this game. Mm-hmm. And that just like I had never played a game where I felt like the decisions that I made in that game had a huge impact on how the game ended until Chrono Trigger. And then Chrono Trigger has spoiled me on pretty much every other RPG I have played since. Like, I think I love Chrono Trigger, but I attribute it to ruining RPGs for me because I've never played a game like it where it's just like I wanted to get every ending and I wanted to see everything and I wanted to feel like I was making a difference in this world of make-believe. Mm-hmm. And like that game did it.
Because the endings are drastically different. Oh, it's God, not like the Super Metroid ending. You get like a
Samus in a bikini.
Yeah, or that little space shuttle if you went back and save right. the aliens. Yeah, you know, if you beat the game before you go back into the prehistoric times, you come back and everybody's dinosaurs.
Right.
There's I think at least two funny endings. One where
are you spoiling stuff and you didn't say spoilers?
Spoilers. No. Everyone's like, dinosaurs. Spoilers.
That should be a given by this point.
How far in are we? And we're talking about the end.
I think it's important to talk about the endings.
We're talking about some of the endings.
I think the fact that it has so many different endings to its credit makes it, you guys probably disagree with me on this point, but makes it have a level of replayability that I don't feel like RPGs normally have, because I feel like once you like you play through it and you get the story, and then you're done.
Oh, yeah.
No, I totally agree.
Yeah, normally I think that's the case. And it's like, and that was another thing that was so alluring about this game, because I enjoyed playing it so much. Like, the mechanics really, really good, and I like the characters, and I like all the animations. It looked great and sounded great. And then when I found out there's multiple endings, I was excited because it's like, I can play this game again. And then there was New Game Plus, which was new to me at the time, where you start the story over, but everyone's at the level they were when you ended the game. I mean, all these things, it was just like, it does not get better than this. Yeah. So clearly, I think that Chrono Trigger should be number one on the list. I know we're not talking about that yet, but like, to me, it is insanity that this game is not number one on the list.
Because, other than, the Fallout series, there's not, another game, relatively modern that I replay, at all. Like, it's only games of, this Super Nintendo generation that I go back and replay to see different endings or play through it differently. Like, modern games now, even no matter how much I love it, I generally don't play through them again.
And this might be crazy, and I know this is a tangent, but I think that a lot of that is because multiplayer is such a big aspect of gaming now. Mm-hmm. And it wasn't back when Chrono Trigger came out. Because I feel like developers really focus on multiplayer now for replayability factor. Mm-hmm. So because there's that, I have a feeling that it has a lot to do. It dictates how a single player experience is.
It is, because even games that weren't meant to be multiplayer, it's just they'll tack it on, like Mass Effect 3. It was never meant to be a multiplayer game, but they, for some reason, just felt like they had to make that a part of the game. And in doing so, they made it an essential part of the game.
Oh, that fucking pissed me off, because I had to get Xbox Gold in order to get the ending I wanted in Mass Effect 3.
So you could play online.
Yeah.
But I mean, the multiple endings, that is just, man, that blew my mind. And I still, I mean it. I haven't played a game since that I got wrapped up in it like that and wanted to see all these endings. And because of Chrono Trigger, now, we've talked about The Illusion of Choice before when we talked about The Walking Dead. Like, that stuff really bums me out now, because it's like, this game that came out 20 years ago had all these, I mean, granted, it's not a whole lot of decisions that you make, but the decisions that you do make have drastic changes on the story.
Yeah.
They're not only just multiple endings, but I mean, spoilers now for real. Can we do, is it too early to do spoilers?
Nope.
But there are characters in the game that can join your party and or not, and they're villains. I mean, if we're really going to spoil it, seriously, if you haven't played this game, I really want you to listen to this episode, but stop listening.
Yeah, this play, is another one of those episodes. Stop and play
Chrono Trigger. You owe it to yourself.
It's been re-released on so many platforms. You can get a hold of a copy and play it.
Absolutely.
You can download it on your phone. It'll take 3 minutes to download. Just start playing it.
Absolutely. And then come back and listen to this episode and just gush with me. So there's a character in the game who is set up as a villain. One of the earlier villains in the game. His name is Magus. And he's set up as this really evil sorcerer. He's got a tie to someone who's already in your party, whose name is Frog, who's a frog, believe it or not, who is like gravely wronged Frog. Like he's cursed him. He's put him in this anthropomorphic furry state forever. And you finally confront him and you fight him. And then you get the option of either killing him or, he says that he can join you to fight what is the real threat. Which that blew my mind as a kid, because it was like, what the fuck is going on? The villain can join the party. So that changes things. That's a decision that I feel like matters. And then the bigger one is, man, spoilers, please play this game, is that Chrono fucking dies in this game.
Yeah, your main character, you literally cannot remove him from your party. He is the main character, no doubt about it. But yeah, you have the option of finishing the game with him dead.
Yeah, I mean, because you fight the final boss, and Lavos just obliterates him like the cool style where there's a flash of light and you see like
him disintegrate.
He crumbles to dust. Yep.
And it's one of those things where it's like you can just totally finish the game without him if you want. Like the story doesn't make you go and revive Chrono. And that's, man, just that organic nature of this game just really gives me the feels. Like, I've got the feels right now.
Even when you revive him, after that, he doesn't have to be in your party.
Right.
Yeah.
Like, he can just sit out at home base and just chill out. God. Whatever.
But talking about the decision-making, because it's not just a, you know, you go talk to this person, you have a yes or no question. The decision is when you go and beat the game is, you know, what side quests do you do? They all have an effect on the game.
Yeah, absolutely.
On the ending. So,
because when you first time you fight Magus, he has 6,666 hit points.
Right.
And of course, your characters cap out at 999. So I feel like they did a decent job at least justifying his power down enough to join your party. Because I feel like maybe that's also a reason why he joined up with you, because now he's a shadow of what he was.
Yeah.
After confronting the final boss and getting his ass handed to him, and he had his magic drained permanently away from him.
It does fit into that trope where you fight a really powerful boss. And in my opinion, Magus, when you fought him, was the hardest boss in the game.
Oh,
I remember.
Yep. Fuck yes. Yeah.
Of course, he's the only boss lost to.
Yeah.
And he's got the coolest intro too, because you're in his castle and you walk up and those candles light up as you go. Oh man.
Yeah. So it does fit in that trope. Yeah, they do at least attempt to justify it.
Yeah.
But yeah, man, that's so awesome.
Oh, God, I love this game. Can we talk about the characters?
Seeing the spells whenever you cast Dark Matter, God. And it's like that 3D triangle swirling in a triangle, man.
I remember the first time he cast that, I was like, oh, well, my party's dead.
Yeah.
The magic is based on everyone having, I guess by nature, every character has an element.
Yeah, they took that personality test that we took back in Super Mario RPG.
A lot of us are healers.
Yeah, we don't have the best magic. Yeah. Nicole has the best magic.
Yes.
We're okay. But because like Chrono's unique. He's the only one that has lightning. And lightning is, I mean, technically he's the main character. He has the strongest magic in the game, really. But then, like, one character has water, one character has ice, one character has fire. Two characters can't use magic because they were from before magic came about, and one is not human,
right.
And they can't use magic. Except for, you hear some people say that when you combine all three, when you combine lightning, water, and fire, that's when you get the most powerful and secret of magic, which is shadow. And that's just what Magus has. He just has shadow. That's his type. And all his spells, he starts off learning those three spells, fire, lightning, and ice, and then everything else is just shadow.
Yeah. Robo was one of my favorite characters, though. He was the one that's not human. He's a robot. But he was, I think he was really underused. He was in my main party because he has shadow magic too. Mm-hmm. His, he's actually got,
quote unquote, yeah, shadow magic.
He's got healing abilities. He's got the heal beam. He's got, lightning, magic. He's the, whatever, shockwave or whatever it is. And then he's got, yeah, laser dance, which is shadow magic. Yes. So he's actually very, very versatile.
He's certainly the most well-rounded character in the game.
He's also very cute.
Mm-hmm. He is pretty cute. He looks like a gold trash can with bug eyes. The storytelling in this game, you talking about Robo being your favorite character, just reminds me of the excellent storytelling in this game because, like, I don't know how it holds up. I mean, for me, it still holds up replaying it. But I remember, like, as a kid, playing through Robo's story the first time. It's a love story about two robots. And it's like, holy shit, like, this is kind of out there for an RPG. This is not a safe story to be telling. I mean, it's exploring, like, ideas. Like, can robots have feelings and stuff like that? It's just like, it's on a different level from any other RPG that I had played at the time, where it's kind of like, well, go to this town and get a quest and then go to the dungeon and then come back and turn that quest in. And then you go to the next town. Mm-hmm. I mean, I think Final Fantasy 3/6 really stepped up the game, but then Chrono Trigger blew it out of the water. By the way, in case anyone here hadn't realized it, this week I took a lot of time to think about which game I like better, Final Fantasy 3/6 or Chrono Trigger, and it is Chrono
Earthbound.
Trigger. It is Chrono Trigger by a mile. I don't even know what I was thinking when I was talking about couldn't decide if Final Fantasy 3 was better than Chrono Trigger. Man, Chrono Trigger is such a good game.
Mm-hmm. Although let's see, there are a few things that about the game that bother me a little bit. Nothing about this game really bothers me. But one, when you can choose whenever you want to fight Lavos, the only thing, which is Lavos is the final boss, I guess we can explore what he is later, but there's only one time period in which you cannot fight him, and it pisses me off because I wish you could. I think that would be one of the best time periods to fight him, and it should be a challenge system because you can't fight him after the apocalypse. You can't fight him in the future because once you go to the Black Omen, which is this... Once the Black Omen appears, it's basically his dungeon. And once it appears, it's in every single time period, except for 65 million BC. But it's there, and you can walk into that and challenge him at any time for the real ending. But once you get there in the future, you get in the Black Omen, and basically his keeper shows up and is like, this world's done. It has no life. It has no nutrients. Lavos has nothing left to do with it. Move on. I wish once you went there, he would be at his strongest. He has sucked the earth dry.
Yeah.
And then that would be like the hardest form you could fight him in. Mm. But you just can't.
I always thought maybe I'd miss something. I always thought it was because he left. Because that's what he does. He launches himself from planet to planet, crash lands on it, burrows into the earth, and sucks the planet dry.
See, my only thing about that is like, I don't remember that. That's totally valid.
It has been a while since I've played.
I just wonder why, because it doesn't say he's there. Or it doesn't say he's gone. It just says this planet's over. Move on.
Because I assume that he was gone too. Because
I don't know why Zeal would stay. Is my only thing.
Yeah,
there is. It's been a while also since I played this, but the remake of it, they add a new form of Lavos.
Is this the mobile remake?
GBA or DS, version, because he merges with Scala and it becomes like the Dream Eater or something like that. But
Scala's like crystallized on his back and he's siphoning out from her to use.
So in a way, you do get that. Yeah, he's a souped up version of himself as more of a challenge. Of course, you get new weapons and stuff like that, new gear to fight him, but.
Because you need the rainbow sword was not powerful enough. You need an upgrade.
And that's another interesting point. Up until this game, I hadn't ran into that. Of course, I think whenever I played this game, my RPG library was pretty small. But like at least in other Final Fantasy games, most of the equipment's pretty interchangeable. Mm-hmm. In this game, each character has a pretty specific set. Like, they think you can change accessories between each other.
It's like Secret of Mana style.
Yeah. So every character's got their very specific weapons mm-hmm. and armor, and they can't change them out. But
which I like. Mm-hmm. I mean, I like that it works for Chrono Trigger. I feel like in some games I like versatility amongst characters, but in Chrono Trigger it felt like all of the characters have a very distinct personality, mm-hmm. and I like that their weapons kind of mirrored that personality. Like, all the weapons made sense. Like, Ayla's weapons made sense because mm-hmm. she just punched shit, mm-hmm. so she didn't need weapons most of the time.
Robo mm-hmm. also punched shit, but he got, like, arm upgrades.
Right. is there anything else in the game that bugs you, Tyler? Or?
Well, Frog... A.K.A. Glenn.
Right.
A.K.A. Fred the Frog.
Mm-hmm. We'll get into that later. Don't worry.
That he is a knight. He is like an Arthurian knight.
Yes.
That is his shtick. He has honor, nobility. I mean, that's his thing. But his sword, his iconic sword in the game, is the Masamune.
Right.
And it looks like a temple sword. It looks like your classic kind of sword. And that's not the Masamune.
Right.
They, even in Japan, like... it's named like the Grandius or something that fits it. Why they changed it to Masamune here kind of bugs me because it's not.
Yeah.
So, mm-hmm. I mean, that's super nitpicky on my part, but I was used to Final Fantasy and things like that where the Masamune is something, you know, it's an iconic weapon in all RPGs.
And it's a katana. It's not a broadsword. Yeah.
It did kind of bother me too. But the Masamune in this game is also a character, not just a character. Mm-hmm. It is
two characters.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Masa and Moon, which are kind of unexplained. I know they have some tie-in with the Kingdom of Zeal, but yeah, they're two creatures who emerge together
and live in the sword.
Yeah, they're
that's
like
what
sword
I always
spirits,
assume.
I guess.
They're sword buddies, sword brothers.
So I don't know. Maybe I gave it a pass because of that, because it was Masa and it was Moon, and together they were Masa Moon. So.
And they're a boss. You mm-hmm. have to fight them to get the sword.
A pretty interesting boss too. I think, in fact, all the boss fights are pretty interesting in this game too, because it's not just super powerful enemy that you just attack until it dies, like Masa Moon, for instance. You fight them as two individual creatures. They're both pretty hard. Once you kill one of them, they merge together to become...
Fusion dance.
Yeah, they do the fusion dance to become Masa Moon.
I love the boss fights. Mm-hmm. I think that you're 100% correct. Like, the one that I really liked was in the prehistoric times, where you go through Ayla's story, where you fight the tyrant.
Mm-hmm.
And
T-Rex.
The T-Rex. And man, all those fights, I love it because I was used to playing Final Fantasy games where typically, it's like you said, it was just one big boss that you fought. Mm-hmm. But this game introduced a lot of choice in how you fight bosses, and you kind of had to like find the proper way or the most efficient way to beat a boss a lot of times. Which maybe why Magus was so tough, because Magus was just one guy.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but even then, even just, you know, there was a little bit of a puzzle to beating him because he had a shield up, and you have to hit him with a certain attack to break his shield. And
different element, yeah. Nicole? Yes. Who is your favorite character in this game?
Robo. We already talked about it.
You said Robo as well?
Yeah, I agree.
Oh,
you,
I'm sorry.
You said he was cute. I didn't know he was your favorite.
Yeah, he's my favorite.
She only loves things that are cute. Mm-hmm.
Tyler, I want to know your favorite character.
Probably Ayla.
Ayla?
Yeah. I love Ayla. She was always in my main party.
Yeah. I like Ayla too, but I'm curious why.
I guess her just like punching stuff and her... All her skills not being like magic based, that and charm made a big deal.
Yeah, it did.
And then her, I remember, because what really brought me over to like number one Ayla fan was when you're on the Blackbird, no one can do anything but Ayla, because she doesn't need weapons, so she can knock the shit out of all the guards. Right. And once that happened, I thought, that's badass.
Yeah.
I like that.
Yeah. You get arrested, and all your equipment's taken away. So you have to fight your way out, pretty much.
Yep.
But unless you have Ayla in your party, you've got to sneak around until somebody can get their equipment back. So, yeah, and that's just another point of the point about it being such a good game about how, if you knew that was coming up, you could plan for that. You put
Ayla in your party.
But otherwise, you don't have her in your party. You go through this dungeon essentially an entirely different way.
You have to stealth through.
It's a totally different play.
I like Ayla because she is a really cool interpretation of a monk. Because usually monks are Eastern, and like mystic and all that. All that tropey stuff, but Ayla is just a cave woman. She's just a really strong cave woman, but like she's totally a monk. Totally a monk.
And she breaks up the boys' club of heavy hitters and things like that.
Absolutely.
So she's the chief of her village because she's the strongest. And
I flip back and forth between my favorite, and it's interesting because my two favorites, it's always a struggle between Frog and Magus. Because I love both of those characters. And like I love how their stories are intertwined. It's kind of difficult for me to like separate the two because like Frog and Magus, their relationship in this game is just another one of those like story things where it's like these two characters they have every right to hate each other. Like Frog especially, 100%. But it's like one of those things where it's you put your differences aside to do what's best for the world. Mm-hmm. Like stuff like that is...
I loved making them do that because whenever Chrono died, I'd always force them. They were always in my party. I had to force them to work together. Yeah.
I guess there's another little thing. Now that you mentioned that, another thing that bothers me a little bit, that when you fight, you need to fight Magus. You're sort of presented with the idea, like if you kill Magus, you'll break the spell on Frog. If he dies, that gives you incentive to kill him.
It's true.
So then you want to kill him. And then you're rewarded for going for the greater good.
Yeah.
But like, there's the ending where I have like, I want to break this curse and I'll kill him and nothing happens. It's an ending.
Yeah. If it does happen.
If you immediately you killed him and then his sprite changed.
Yeah.
Awesome.
That would have been really
but
cool.
But it doesn't.
I kind of...
A lot of his moves were based on him being a frog, too. So that would have
changed his fucking skills.
Yeah.
Great.
Yeah, I think that would have been cool, too. I think what it would have been great is, like, because I killed Magus the first time, because I like really liked Frog, and I loved the story, and I wanted to break the curse. I killed Magus, nothing happened, and I was mad for a second, but then I was like, Magus would trick me like that. That's well played. And then when I got the ending later on, where he changes, I was actually a little disappointed because I kind of felt the same way as you, Tyler. Yeah. Where it's like, well, it would have been cool if it happened like when it should have happened.
If his skills had changed, like Frog Squash being his strongest thing, if it had switched and become Nirvana Strike, which is Cyrus's strongest technique.
Yeah, I was about to say something.
Like if he had mirrored Cyrus, that would have been fucking amazing.
Yeah, that would have been really cool.
So Nicole named Frog Fred.
Not Selleck.
Yeah.
Can we have
I just want to throw that out there. Let Todd Pog Nation know.
So that's what you guys are talking about.
Totally acceptable.
Fred the Frog.
Why not?
I wanna
the
buddy.
Best was your choosing of the epoch, your time machine. Because you would change, sometimes you change one letter. You're like, you don't know what to name this. And you drop the controller and it automatically changed the name. And we went with it. Mm-hmm. What was it called?
The Biatch.
The Biatch. Hurry, everyone get in the Biatch.
I want to see a buddy cop movie with Selleck and Fred, and they ride around in the Biatch, and they solve crimes, and like
throughout time,
it's a time crime procedural.
Fred puts bananas and tailpipes, and it's the whole thing.
One thing I read recently that Frog, what's cool about Frog is he speaks in Middle English,
which is the only one in the game that does that.
Yeah.
Still like it.
But. Ayla speaks in like broken English because she's a cave person.
She talks like a 5-year-old.
But like that is strictly an American, the American version.
Really?
Yeah, it's not in the Japanese version.
Who is that guy? There's that one guy that made all the decisions. He's the one that decided to call it the Masamune. He's the one who decided to give Frog
He called Espers and Magicite.
I can't think of his name, though.
Yeah, I can't either. One of the 80% of people who know more about video games can probably tell us.
I guess talk about the other characters, too, because... Dave, who was your favorite character?
Well, I couldn't decide. But I guess I have to make a decision. And if I had to, I'd say Magus. Okay. Because just the thought of having the villain come on the team and help has always been enticing for me. Yeah.
So we've talked about Chrono, main character.
Mm-hmm. I feel like we haven't really mentioned her. And I feel like she is, I fully acknowledge, like, I didn't use her and I should have. She is the most underrated character in the game. That's Luca.
Luca. Yep.
Luca is equally as badass as Chrono and Magus in a battle. Uh-huh. Mm-hmm. But she's just like, I just never really used her.
She's got the most powerful weapon in the game too, but it's like it's got a chance of doing one point of damage or like all nines.
Which seems like a real Earthbound thing to me. Like it's like you're doing no damage or a bunch of damage. What were you saying, Nicole?
You guys were talking about like Robo being underused and stuff, but I think that I had Luca and Robo in my party.
They went together pretty well because their characters went together. They... Luca was the one who repairs Robo whenever you find him there. Actually, several times throughout the game, she's got to repair him. But yeah, they have a really strong relationship together.
Because she's an inventor's daughter.
Right.
And her father's invention is actually the one that allows you to time travel the first time. Mm-hmm. That kind of starts all this business. Well, mm-hmm. her father and Marl's.
Marl.
Yeah.
And Marl's pendant.
Or like, so Meg playing this game, just like, oh, I hate that name. It sounds like somebody's vomiting. Marl. Marl.
How did you guys pronounce it? Because when I was a kid playing it, I totally pronounced it Marl.
I did too, yeah. Marl. And then
I still pronounce it like that.
But Marley?
Marley Marley or something like that. It's supposed to
I always renamed her to Nadia, which is a real name. Yeah.
I like naming all the characters what their real names. Because it's weird that there are a lot of characters that are like that.
Yeah, Janus. Or Magus is Janus. Uh-huh. Robo's ours. R6-Y.
Yeah. Get that serial number.
Frog is Glenn. Marl is Nadia.
Luca is Luca.
Yeah, Luca and Chrono and Ayla. Those are the only ones.
Yeah, and Luca is one of those like slightly reoccurring square names.
She had one of my favorite combos in the game. Or favorite tech, dual techs.
We haven't even talked about techs yet.
Oh, man.
Which is a huge, huge departure.
Yeah. We can tackle that next episode.
Yeah.
Because that's like a whole episode unto itself. Yeah. I'll just go ahead and say I love Fire Sword. Fire Sword's like my favorite build tech in the game.
Fire Sword is great.
Fire Swirl was a good one. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And Luca, even earlier on, like with their fire spells.
Well, it's in the box art. Yep. The dual techs are in the box art because it does, that is the box art, is Luca shooting like this stream of fire.
I don't think it's Luca. I think on the box art it's Marl for some reason. Yeah,
weird. It should be Luca.
I remember being mad about that after I played the game, looked at the box, like that doesn't make any sense.
it just added more fuel to the fire for me for Dragon Ball. I was like, doesn't know what he's doing.
Oh man.
Have we talked about all the characters? Because if we haven't, I guarantee you someone's gonna be upset that we didn't talk about their favorite character.
We haven't really talked a lot about Marl.
Yeah. Okay. Runaway tomboy princess.
Mm-hmm.
Love interest of Chrono.
Yes.
Even though Chrono never speaks out the game.
Well, and there's an ending he talks.
Yeah. All right.
Because he follows the silent protagonist trope. Is there a silent antagonist trope? Is there just like a boss that just like never talks? He just runs up and hits you. You don't know why he's mad at you or why he's doing what he's doing. He just won't talk.
Interesting thing, though, in Chrono Cross... the main character is also a silent protagonist, and he gets body switched with one of the villains, and then whenever the villain is in control of his body, he does talk. So that's pretty interesting to see your old character talking to you.
I bought a wrapped PlayStation Greatest Hits of Chrono Cross. It's still on my shelf. I bought it for like $15.
Yeah, like, embarrassingly, I've never played Chrono Cross.
Neither have I.
And it was because I heard from all my friends that I played Chrono Trigger with, that we all love Chrono Trigger, they were like, not good. It's nothing compared to Chrono
Cross. Yeah, that's true. It's nothing compared to Chrono Trigger. But by itself, Chrono Cross is a good game. Yeah. Do not try to relate it to Chrono Trigger or you will be disappointed.
I've heard it has one of the best game soundtracks like ever.
But yeah, just give it a shot sometime. It is a good game. Just play it like not
on a deadline. Yeah. Oh, okay, gotcha. Because I'm about to say that sounds like a really good Other Ship Monday, but I don't know when I can fucking play an RPG for an Other Ship Monday. Like never. I can never do that.
There are a few tie-ins with Chrono Trigger, but it is by no means a sequel.
Yeah.
Yeah, because you can get Glenn in your party.
But it's not the same.
You get a different Glenn. Version of Magus in your party.
Yeah, you do actually see, it's either in, like, at the end, at the very end, or one of the endings or something, you actually do see, like, the ghostly forms of Chrono, Marl, and Luca. They, like, come down and
like
talk
the Jedi
to you.
Ghosts.
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah.
Chrono Trigger is time travel, and Chrono Cross is dimensions. Alternate dimensions.
Yeah. See, and already I'm kind of like bummed out about that. Cause like I love time travel stories. Like just any story where you can go back in time and like alter the future. Like I think that's always been like my escapist fantasy has been time travel. I love it. Anything about it, I'll check out.
I've always wanted to touch on it in D&D, but it's like, I don't dare. Yeah. I don't dare. Cause it would just like, it's fine when a game is on rails, but in a game like D&D, we do time travel, like that shit would unravel so quickly.
I think it'd be so great.
Oh, man.
I really do. Because like that would be one that you couldn't plan for. You can't plan for that game.
Yeah.
I mean, you'd have to set the bar and be like, create a world, and then just be ready to fucking destroy it at any moment.
it would be hard to do, yeah. But if you set it up like Chrono Trigger, is you have very distinct time zones, and you can't really deviate from those time zones. It could be done in a world, just treat them as separate worlds. But speaking of that, which was everybody's favorite time zone?
Oh, man.
That's hard.
Mm-hmm.
And they're so distinct. They're they're so good. They're all unique.
They're so good, and like their stories.
Present day is my least favorite.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Their stories all interconnect too, which is like, that's the only way that this time travel thing would work, is if the stories from all the time zones create a big story. Mm-hmm. And I think that's like masterfully done, because things are referenced in present time where the game starts that you learn about when you travel to other time periods. And it's like, oh, that's what they were talking about. It makes the world feel richer.
Mm-hmm.
I remember just being in awe whenever you go to, I think it's renamed Antiquity, but it's called the Dark Ages in the original. Because you go there, and it's just this barren, like, ice wasteland, and then you're just wandering around out in the wilderness, heavy snow, you come across this weird kind of device, and all of a sudden you're teleported to this beautiful, like, floating continent. This, and then
High magic.
Yeah, high magic, the music. Uh-huh. Oh, God, that Zeal music. Uh-huh. That's, yeah.
I like what's noticeable in the time periods. Like, if you go from Middle Ages to present day, like, it has a lot of the same stuff in it because they're close enough, but I guess they pay attention to how continents move over time, because you can be over a city in Middle Ages, go to the present, and I guess they took in tectonic shifting because it's slightly more over, and then that's how you see the continents shift in every single time period.
And I love sitting in the epoch and going from time to time, just to see where I wind up, you know, not moving the ship at all, but just staying in the same place and seeing how it evolves. That's a really good point.
So it's into time count, into time.
Oh, into time, man.
My favorite, honestly, is probably 2580, the future.
Yeah.
I like my shit bleak. Uh-huh. I'd like to have my heart broken. So going to the future and just seeing what humanity has been reduced to and the state the world is in, and you're trying to help, but you really can't.
Yeah, everybody's starving. Everybody is wearing like that brown tattered cloth. Uh-huh. Yeah.
You go to talk to that guy when you first get there and he crumbles to bones.
Yeah.
You try to like, oh, there's food storage down here. I'll go down there and beat those robots to get you guys some food. Oh, it's all spoiled. Okay.
Yep. And then you race Johnny.
Okay.
Super bleak.
It's super bleak with that human robot motorcycle man.
I wasn't going to talk about that part.
It's so cool.
Oh God, he's like a motorcycle version of like DJ Jazzy Jeff. That's from Fresh Prince of Bel-Air, Nicole. Do you know that show?
I know that show. Yes.
Can you sing the theme song?
Throws him out.
Probably, but I'm not going to.
You're not drunk enough.
She was thinking about it. So what's your favorite time?
I also like the future.
Mm-hmm. I knew you'd say that.
I don't think you knew that.
Middle Ages for me.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's Middle Ages for me because of the story, because of Frog's story and Magus's story. And it's.
Get jerky in the Middle Ages.
Yep. And Cyrus and that whole story arc. I love it. And then the bridge when you, like.
Yeah.
You fight all the undead on that bridge when you're heading to the southern continent. Man, I love all of that. And like the relationships that they have in the castle. Like the chef and his brother. I mean, all these NPCs.
Who's the adventurer? The guy who helps you find the rainbow shell. Because he was Tomas?
Toma.
Okay.
You got to pour the soda on his grave.
He loved orange soda. You have to pour orange soda on his grave. America!
I'm sure that wasn't censored. I'm sure that was how it was in the original Japanese version. Yeah, Middle Ages, because of all that stuff. And it's like, I love the NPC work in this game too, because it seemed like almost, there were so many background characters that also had a story, which you see in Final Fantasy III, but like, I feel like there's more of that in this game, where it's like, they did such a good job of not only telling a story and allowing you to make decisions that alter the story, but they did a really good job of world building for a JRPG. Because a lot of times it feels like this is the world, you're kind of plopped into it, and it looks like a world, and you walk around and there's towns and you talk to people and stuff. But like this game felt like they really did some character building to like NPCs that you only see a couple times in the game.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and you actually have influence on some of these NPCs' personalities because
I think you're going to mention my favorite side quest just now.
Yeah, it's the side quest to get the Sunstone, but it's a huge side quest where you're constantly traveling back and forth in time, but this one family that I think he was the mayor of this one town.
Town south of your starting town.
He gets the Sunstone and you need it. He won't return it. He just refuses to give it back. So what you have to do, you have to go back in time to the Middle Ages because this is present day. You have to go back in time to the Middle Ages and you have to, I think you have to feed his family or something, is like great-great-great-grandmother. Mm-hmm. You have to give her some food for free.
I think it's jerky, actually.
Yeah, which it costs you a lot of money to buy, but you have to go and give it to her for free, and then she's like, oh, I'll teach my children and their children to be so generous later on. And then you go back into the present day, and you go back and talk to him, and he's so generous, he just gives it to you, and all of his family loves him, or they hated him before, you know? I think like even his daughter's like her dialogue changes from who do I hate most in the world? My dad, of course, to who is the person I love most? My dad, of course.
And it's like that's just, I don't know, that's like going the extra mile for me, where it's just like, you know what, we're gonna script these changes. Instead of his daughter not saying anything or his daughter saying something that doesn't relate to how she feels about her dad, whose life you changed by going into the past.
God, I remember trying to do. First time I played through this, I didn't use a guide. So whenever like I found and got the Sunstone and it's dead, you have to recharge it. Uh-huh. But it takes like a millennium to recharge. So like I remember going and trying different time periods because you can find basically a sun cave where there's just a beam of light that goes out in one little patch and you have to leave it there. I remember experimenting, whatever. Then I was like, fine, I'll just go back. I went back to 65 million BC. I put it in there and I went back to the future and it was gone. I was like, what the fuck?
Yep.
And then I'm like, we're not going to find this. Who in what time period went in there and fucking took the Sunstone?
Start going back.
And then I'm flying around and I see one house, just huge fucking sparkles coming up out of it. Oh, okay.
Fuck, I love this game.
Yeah, and you can, I mean, that's kind of a cute little way to introduce character changes too, but there's also dark situations like Luca, her mom is paralyzed because her husband's the inventor. She, a long time ago, she got trapped in a machine and became paralyzed. You actually get, it's part of a side quest, but you actually get the chance to go back and save her, and you have to do it just right.
See, this is the thing pissed me off at the game, because it's not, this is not done well.
It's a bug, isn't it? Isn't it a bug?
Is it a bug? Well, I just thought it was incredibly
bad. They fixed it in the remake, the DS version. They fixed it. It's a lot easier because, yeah, I kept fucking it up in the SNES version. But you have to, like, input, I think it's her name, which is Lara, L-A-R-A.
Right.
You have to input that. But then, you have to hit the A button.
Technically, you have to put in, you have to put in a Lara, A-L-A-R-A, technically, to do it.
Yeah, so... and of course, she's getting sucked into the machine as you're trying to type it in. So there's
you have to figure out what the password is, because the first time I went through, I didn't know what it was. Like, what would Deban's password be? I'm trying to what can I input? I try Zabie, which was the future password. Right.
Well, no, because I think you have to remember what her name is too, because you find the note that's like, the password's my lovely wife's name or something like that, and you've got to just recall, I think, what her
name is. I mean, she can't walk because she doesn't have any legs in the future, so she only sits in the back of Luca's house where you're never really going to go.
Right, So... So you get a chance to save her, but most of the time you're not going to.
Oh, man.
This is the first, six times you're playing through, you're not going to save her. And you've just got to – you hear that soul-crushing scream when she finally gets sucked in. And,
and Tara's scream when she turns into Esper form are just like, man, those are burning in my head. Oh, man. Yeah.
The when the nuns turn into Nagas.
Mm.
In the middle
love
ages.
Their dialogue before.
Oh man!
Before why you're they're still
in disguise.
Yeah, disguise as nuns. Yeah.
But with the sound they make when they transform, the scream. Oh, I love that too. Sound is really good in this game.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the sound, the music.
That cathedral was a pretty awesome dungeon, because you go in, you talk to the nuns who say things that are just a little off. You're like, something's up
more
here.
Than a little off. When the one says something about you being tasty or something, right?
I've talked to a lot of nuns. They all pretty much talk like that.
You fight your way through the dungeon, and then you go into this back room, and they've got this statue of Magus, and they're all chanting and praying around it.
And then even getting to the dungeon, because when you're in the chapel and you have to figure out to go to the organ and play the music to open the secret door. Really cool stuff. Really cool stuff.
This game's great, guys. Should maybe play it.
Because have you guys seen the where there was an independent team who wanted to reboot it into 3D?
Yes.
And it's an impressive looking video.
Yes.
And it was it was a long time, 10 years ago maybe when they did it.
Probably.
And man, Square Enix hit them with a cease and desist fast.
Square shuts down. It's every other year I hear, someone's doing a fan remake, or they're doing an HD remake, or they're doing a 3D remake, and it's always a year later I'm like, what happened to that project? And I'll look it up. Oh, okay. Square shut that down.
I have. I got it off the internet before the cease and desist, and they shut it down and took it away. Chrono Trigger Crimson Dreams, which was a full fan-made sequel. And I think it stars Magus.
Huh.
So I have that. We can do Other Ship Monday.
I have such a hard time with this is where my nerd really kicks in, because I'm like, why play it if it's not canon?
Crimson Echoes or Crimson Dreams?
Fanfic, though, where you get to see Mega Man X and Chrono.
What's Icy Brian? What was his name?
Icy Brian. Icy Brian.
Oh, wow.
You're saying icy icy cold, right? Uh-huh. Not icy.
Icy dead people.
Icy Brian. Icy, I-C-Y.
I remember Mastercock. Remember, thought his name was so cool. It's Icy. He's cool as ice. And he would always read me that fan fiction. It was very descriptive of Magus's scythe and like his dark intentions and stuff like that. She was like, man, this is awesome. This guy wrote this.
I hope that it was all like overtly sexual and you guys didn't realize it at the time.
Probably. Like, that's a distinct
dark intentions. His scythe rose steadily and throbbed in his hand.
Dave and I read a lot of this. Oh, yeah. The same erotica. We often send each other literotica links all the time.
We should do, what is it, the ASMR? Is that what it's called? We should do one as Magus talking about his scythe.
Well, read when I see Brian's stories in ASMR. Oh, shit. Well, that's... we're pretty close to our typical time to probably call it.
All right.
And we'll have achievements and beards and glasses and more technical talk next time. And more drunk Nicole. Mm-hmm. When you get her good and drunk to talk about Chrono Trigger.
Well, I kind of
we kind of overrode her because we were like, this game, gush.
Sorry, Nicole.
That's okay.
But it still counts.
Yeah.
For an episode hosted.
Sam, so.
Thanks for listening, everybody. You can find the show on iTunes or Stitcher, maybe SoundCloud. We're still ironing that out.
Yeah, Mastercock asked me for a link. I think he thought we were fucking with him, like just trying to get his money. He's like, can you send me a link to that site that you guys were talking about? I'm like, yeah, okay. I got it. And I never heard from him again.
He's like, oh, it's real. Damn it. So from the next episode, we'll be talking about Chrono Trigger Part 2. And Othership Monday, we don't know yet.
Yeah, who knows?
We'll figure it out.
Yeah.
But while you're there, while you're at iTunes, like truly subscribing and getting all these episodes, what really helps us out is if you leave us a 5-star written review. Helps us so much.
It keeps the bees out of my mouth.
Well, it's a bee gun. It's always been a bee gun. We just never said it.
I owe that to the Final Fantasy Facebook group. So thanks for giving me that joke.
So what helps us out is if you go there, leave us the 5-star written iTunes review. And we kind of incentivize it a little bit so you can, there's a game you want us to play. If there's a guest host you want on a certain episode, leave that in your review. If you 5 stars, and it's, even if it's, that's all you say, like just the name of a game, it's fine. It's cool. It counts.
We're so close to 100.
So close.
So close.
So close. Still, last I checked, we're still at 95. Uh-huh. We're so close. But whatever you put in there, game or guest host, we promise that we will get to it eventually.
Don't worry, guys. Like Tyler said, we're going to be back. We're going to be talking about other shit on a Monday. Who knows what we're going to come up with? Because we sure as fuck don't. In the meantime, you can always find us on tadpog.com. That's where the show notes live. And you know what? This week, don't even go to tadpog.com. Just play Chrono Trigger. That's my advice. Just don't go this week. Maybe go next week and then catch up on this week's show notes.
So you'll get it. So you'll understand.
Exactly. You can also find us on Facebook. We're at facebook.com/tadpog. There are a lot of cool people there doing a lot of cool shit. Tyler will make an episode post there. And if you have anything to say about this particular episode, feel free to post it there. And who knows? We'll probably read it.
Mm-hmm. I'll read it.
Tyler will definitely
read it. I get the floors on my phone. I read everyone.
And I might read it. But I tell you what I will read. We're on Twitter. We are at @tadpog_podcast. It's cumbersome, I realize. Twitter's kind of my realm. Thank you for everybody who is tweeting at us and retweeting anything that we say, particularly our announcements of new episodes. Those are a really big help. Also, we're still getting some really good, obscure video game cover art for us to talk about. I really want that to happen. We just need to figure out when we can make it happen because I can guarantee you that's going to be funny and we don't even have to try because this art is so fucking weird. So Archivist Corn is sending that. Other people are starting to send it now. So I mean, that's really great. I think we got the Cody and the Cody duplicate sending some stuff now too. So that's awesome.
Fishless Jay is now gone. Now it's Cody duplicate.
Hey, we gotta look, Fishless Jay, I love you, man, but you have had like your moment in the sun. We gotta like look, we love you both.
We moved out, we're all about Cody now.
Yeah. Let's just piss off Fish Lips Jay. Just name an episode Cody. Looking at Fish Lips Jay, grimacing at him. You can call us if you want. Leave us a voicemail or send us a text message at 270-883-2555. If you do decide to call, keep your call to under 3 minutes if possible. We love questions, particularly about video games, Ninja Turtles, Golden Girls, Home Improvement, Tim the Toolman Taylor, fast food recommendations, the best place to get a taco in Paducah.
I had a McKinley burger the other day.
What is a McKinley burger?
That is where you go to McDonald's and you ask for a Big Mac, but instead of Big Mac patties, you get quarter pound patties.
Oh. And they just do that?
Like they just do it. Yep.
Did you order it as a McKinley?
No, it's called, I think it's only on like the menu in Alaska, and it's called the McKinley. Everywhere else, you just have to ask for it, and they do it.
How do they charge you? Do they just make up a number?
$2 more.
Yeah.
Yep.
I always feel weird asking for like special orders through a fast food restaurant. But it's so amazing because for the first time I did that was I love to go to Wendy's. I love the spicy chicken sandwich at Wendy's. And they also have this sandwich called the Monterey Chicken, which is essentially just some other sauce. Mm-hmm. And I got the nerve up after I ordered one for Nikki. I was like, I guess I'm going to do it. I'm always afraid they're going to like reject me or like put a dildo in my bag. Like one or the other. So like
car stalls out, blood a dildo.
I've got a Wendy's story that I have never told a soul and I probably never will. Like this one's definitely behind the paywall.
That sounds like Chrono Trigger Part 2.
No. This is like I gotta get money to tell this story because like this one like shaped me as a human.
Everybody sucked a dick for a chicken sandwich or Frosty Dave. Everybody.
It's a valid reason.
In my family, you're not considered a man until you suck a dick for a Frosty and a chicken sandwich.
Spicy chicken sandwich, okay.
So call us. Thanks for being on the show, guys.
Yeah, thanks for having
Thank
us.
Thank you.
I really am glad that we got the Nances, collectively Tadpog sweethearts, to join us on the show for Chrono Trigger.
It's our highest rated couple. Yep. Oh.
What's your couple name? Jacole or
Nosh?
Yeah, I like Nosh.
Our favorite pseudo Jewish couple, Nosh. Oh shit!
My dad calls it Noshua.
Can we get your dad on the show? I really want to get like...
He's retired now, so yeah, he's awesome. Got all the free time in the world.
He can finish Mario?
He's just sitting at home, working on wood, watching Tremors.
No, man, it would be so funny if we could have dad cast. Oh, all of our dads were on. But man, that would be such a nightmare.
I'm kind of worried how it would end, too. Because it's like, I feel like, Tyler, your dad and my dad are like... cut from the same cloth. And I don't know. That's either going to end extremely well or extremely poorly.
It'll end extremely racist. Is that how it'll end? Oh, how you want to close it out? Well, no. Okay. This is a tricky, tricky question. So I'm going to start part one. Josh, our theme song, who is it by?
Oh, crap. I don't know, but let me travel back in time real quick and listen to an old episode.
Go for it. Do it.
Okay. It's Moves by Sycamore Drive.
I don't know what time machine you got in, but you are incorrect.
Yeah. Cause you didn't listen to the question.
I said I was going to listen to an old episode.
Wait. Go to the future. Yeah, go to the future and listen to this episode.
Oh. The problem is you went to the past. You should have gone to the future.
Okay, I'll just hop in a time machine, stop myself from going back in the past. All
right. No, we'll do that. We'll take care of that.
No, Bill and Ted style, we'll just say we're going to do it.
We'll just have to remember.
It's by Megalixir. And Nicole, I would ask you who it's by. I mean, maybe you know. Maybe you know what the song is called.
I don't
either.
Me neither. We could check Dropbox, I guess.
So it'll be let's just record something Chrono Trigger by Megalixir.
Just record yourself saying whatever. Like, it's Robo's theme by Megalixir. It's Magus's theme by Megalixir. Once you get it in, just edit it however you need to.
Check them out, by the way. They're on
Facebook.
Yes,
please. Everything they do is good.
Yeah, it's amazing. And their process is pretty cool, too. Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, we'll have a full track to that in the show notes. Go and listen to it. How do you want to close it out?
Can we do it time related somehow?
Okay.
I don't know how to do that. Maybe Old English?
Old English?
I don't know how you do that.
Tropical Capricorn Old English. I guess we could do it like Cockney. Tropical Capricorn, mate.
I feel like we've done that already. That well has run dry. What's another time?
Do you have a goose? Tropical Capricorn, please.
Okay, everyone pick your favorite historical time and do it in that voice.
Oh, okay.
So clearly yours is Cockney.
Yep.
Because that's
my favorite historical time.
That's a time period we've established.
Street urchin in Europe is my favorite time period.
Everyone good?
I think so, yeah.
Okay.
So until next time. Oh, I got
I was a dinosaur.
I was a caveman.
Nicole, what were you? Did you say anything?
I said it just normal.
She was.
But it's here and now.
Nicole lives in the now constantly.
My favorite time period is the 60s, so I mean, I guess I could say like.
Peace. You could have said it high.
You could say what?
Peace.
Oh, okay. I thought you said please, and I was like.
Please.
Well, it's the 60s. Polite.
I could say please. That's very 60s. It was a more. People were more polite back then. Watch Fox News. Everything was better back then.
Crooner Sugar.
That was a really clean episode. Mm. So, anyone want to say anything about a cock or anything?
Do you have anything?
Nope, there you go.